Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I'm here, so.
I'm Shea Gibbs-Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
Howdy, Oklahoma.
My name is Chet Holmgren, and I'm down to dunk.
Dead gum.
I'm Josh Giddey, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort,
and I'm down to dunk.
Is that like you eat them together?
Everybody tells him to get the bag of burgers.
I need like a straw. Like.
Howdy. I'm an artist on the court.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
My name is Kenrich Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
It might be Aaron Wiggins.
This is a troll. It's a troll. I'm trolling.
Howdy, Papa.
Because I think it would take away from who he is, you know? Yeah.
I love Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma to death.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Perfect. Good. Very good.
I like the hat.
You like the hat? Yeah.
Vava.
This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk. I've been doing a lot of dunking.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me today, special guest Nikias Duncan. You can listen to him on a podcast called The Dunker Spot. There's a lot of dunking on this pod today. Nikias, what's up, man?
We are down to dunker on this episode.
Yes.
We are doing well, man. How are you?
Down to dunker spot right here. It's awesome. I wanted to bring you on because honestly, I love hearing your perspective. You do talk about the Thunder quite a bit on the Dunker Spot, and I just think you're really smart. And I think it's good to talk to smart people and for people to hear your words. So, thank you for coming on, and let's talk Thunder. Let's talk first about offensively what you've seen from this team that's different from last year, and like what you see them like creating with like this evolved version of Shea, J-Dub, and now adding Chet to it. What have you seen from this team this season?
I think conceptually it doesn't feel super different. Like, this is a team that drove the basketball a bunch last year and have done so the year before that. So like that ethos hasn't changed. Having guards and different screening partners for the guys, like that portion of it hasn't changed. It feels like a lot of the pieces within this offense have gotten better. And now you're introducing Chet Holmgren into the mix, which feels like the biggest actual shift to what the offense looks like. And now it's a legitimate big man that can shoot and drive and make at least the basic passes on the move to keep the chains moving. And so, again, conceptually, it doesn't feel like OKC is much different, but it just feels so much more impactful. When Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who I feel is the best driver in basketball, when the pull-up jumper looks like this, both inside and outside the arc, there isn't much you can do with him. And then you throw in anyone that you have to screen for him. If it's Chet Holmgren, like, you can switch it if you want. Like, teams have played around with putting big wings on Chet so you can switch that pick and roll more easily. Shea can just bully those guys still. Like, it doesn't really matter who you throw in front of it at this point. And then, like, something that Steve and I in particular have talked about throughout the history of the pod is just the way that they space the floor, how often they clear the wings, how often they'll go flat and have a guard in a dunker spot, just to make it even more difficult for defenses to key in on what Shea's doing. You add his individual growth into that, and good luck. Like, this has been a top five offense pretty much all year long. And I guess the refreshing part for OKC, like, zooming out, hitting threes to this clip is not something that I banked on heading into the year.
Yeah, for sure.
But when you have Lou Dort shooting the way that he is, again, Shea, his shooting growth, more Isaiah Joe this year as he comes off the bench. I just love watching Isaiah Joe play some fun strides defensively. Yep. For him as well. But once you get the shooting on top of the driving, on top of the overall spacing and how you can't really load up help, like, one of the fun things that I've been tracking all year long as I've been able to tap into some second spectrum stuff this year, OKC naturally leads the NBA in drives per game, but they also track how often or what percentage of possessions that help defense is present or help defenders present. Boston and OKC have been the top two basically all year long in terms of the lowest percentage of possessions where help is present.
Wow.
The fact that OKC leads the league in drives and they also just don't see help to the same degree because they move you out of the way It's not that defenses don't want to send help towards these drives. The way that they space makes it impossible sometimes. It's just such good schematic work from Mark Daigneault. And again, these players are just really freaking good. And you're just kind of seeing nirvana with this group.
Yeah. And that's why I just thought it was like such an important piece to add Chet, like a big shooter to this mix, which makes it impossible to send anybody to Shea as he's driving. Because if you do, like, you're toast. Like, it's over. Because they do have so much shooting. And we'll talk a little bit about Giddy later on. But, like, other than Josh, it's like there's too many good shooters, you know, to just, you know, try to help off of. And so I think that is such an interesting stat, I think. And that, you know, that matches, like, what we're watching, too, is that, you know, Shea is able to get into those lanes and is able to create because of that. What have you noticed in particular when the Thunder play the Lakers? Because this has been kind of a talking point for Thunder fans, and like the team that if everything just went completely wrong, it would be the Thunder play the Lakers in round one. You know, and you know the Lakers have been a problem for the Thunder, and I like, and part of me is like, man, like I think the Thunder could still beat the Lakers in a series because I've watched the Lakers more than just against the Thunder. And I'm like, this team just isn't that good. They play awesome against OKC, and I don't know exactly what to do with it. But what do you think about that matchup in particular?
I think with that matchup, it's one of those the Lakers can hit the very specific notes it takes to bother OKC. Like, OKC has had successful games against teams that have length and size. But the Lakers have the right combination of length and size in the front court in particular to where they can kind of mix and match. Okay, we'll put Anthony Davis on this guy on this position, or we'll have LeBron over here on this position. If we want to switch LeBron on to Shea, we will do that a few times if necessary, just because we know Shea isn't going to bully LeBron, even if he's able to get some leverage on a drive or something. You're not going to bully him. So I think the Lakers are able to shrink the floor in a way that other teams can't. And so even if they aren't just fully like sinking into the paint to take away drives, you feel them a little bit more. And I think three-point shooting becomes even more important in the Laker matchup. And then just in terms of the overall tempo of those games, it does feel like the Lakers have done a better job than most at actually slowing things down and then kind of getting into the interior. Because as OKC swarms around defensively, and I've loved their defense all year, like they aren't the biggest group. And even with Chet being in there, like he's a thin seven-footer.
Yeah.
And so the Lakers are able to move bodies around a little bit more easily. Get offensive rebounds. Like they just generally control the tempo of the game, I feel, as well. And so if the Thunder aren't getting they aren't getting comfortable looks offensively, if the threes aren't falling to the same degree, the Lakers can selectively push, or okay, we got another stop, let's walk this up, let's pick at a matchup, let's see what they do about it. And you throw in just the overall frequency of OKC throwing double teams at guys. Like for a Laker offense that has been better as of late, but like overall hasn't been that great, it feels like OKC is one of the teams where they can actually get two to the ball and kind of play out of that sometimes to a degree that they normally don't. So I think that's part of why that matchup feels more comfortable for the Lakers than for other teams. But I'm with you. Like, if they get into a playoff series, like, I think I still pick OKC. I just think they are a better team.
Yeah.
And the Lakers beating them four times feels a little rich for me right now, especially since their defense has slid post All-Star break.
Yeah.
But it is – they can hit some notes that other teams can't.
Yeah. I'm so intrigued by like the entire Western Conference in this playoffs. I think it's going to be insane. Like the amount of like disappointed fans that are like, cause a lot of times you enter the playoffs, and I've been watching NBA basketball since I was a kid, and there were just always like first round opponents that it was like, oh yeah, like these guys are going away. Like it was cool that they made it, but like, it's obvious that these guys are going away. But, like, I don't know, like, who, like, is there a team that you look at and be like, oh, yeah, like, that one is obviously, like, maybe Sacramento is, like, the only team that you look at, but, like, even, like, Sacramento's a pretty good team. Like, is there a team that you look at and they're like, oh, yeah, this team is, like, going to be toast in round one?
I was going to say, like, Sacramento is probably the closest team just because they have the glaring weak points that you can hit defensively for them. But even then, if they are able to, we saw it last year in the first round against Golden State. And this is something that Steve pointed to, and I was slow to come around on. He just ended up being right on this front, where, hey, if you get the Kings in a playoff series and they get this game plan for this team, they may be able to defend well enough to where their offense can pop. And, like, they mostly defended Golden State well enough to win that series. It went to seven. And so, like, even with that, if the Kings have a team that they can just scheme against, you don't want to be in a last 5 minute battle with De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Or is Malik Monk the way that he's playing?
Yeah, Malik.
Or DeMontis Sabonis continuing to hit people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a fun matchup. Like, if that's the worst option that you have in the West, it just kind of speaks to the overall strength of the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the West has been crazy. And that's what, and that's like another thing about like the Thunder's run this year that makes it even more insane. It's like the Thunder sit, as we talk on Tuesday, March 19th, they're number one in the Western Conference, which is, I think it's just, it's beyond whatever expectation anybody could have had for this squad before the season. I picked them for 46 games. They've already passed that, you know, in March. They're heading toward like 58-ish wins this season. And then, you know, and I can't help but think about the future when I'm thinking about like what, how they end this season, because like this is supposed to be like, this is year one of like being good. And I like it, just my curiosity just like goes off the rails, like thinking about what they could be in like 3 years, you know, and like how this evolves. Like, how do you like see this team evolving as they kind of gel together?
Well, I think first to just the general expectation point, I remember, you know, preseason, Steve and I were on with JJ. We were talking about the Thunder a little bit. And he asked, like, what do you think the ceiling of this Thunder team is? And I ended up being higher than the rest of the group. And I was like, I think they could be, they can get a home court seed.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. It made me feel very excited. It made me feel like, man, I hope he's right and I am wrong.
And I still ended up wrong because they've been even better than I anticipated. And I pride myself as like the non-Thunder fan high on the Thunder guy. And so it's just been a joy to watch them exceed those expectations. And they're still low-hanging fruit for them to grab.
Yeah.
But as far as what they can evolve into, this core can win a title. Like, I guess we can say that. Like, even if it doesn't happen this year, like, they absolutely have the top-end talent for sure. And like, Shea should still get better. Jalen should still get better. Chet is going to get better. If that's your top three, before even getting into how deep this roster is, the treasure trove of picks that they have, they want to consolidate and make bigger moves from there. Like, that top three alone, one, they just seem ready to compete right now. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, they absolutely could just be a mainstay at the top of the Western Conference, hell permitting.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I guess I'm more curious to see, I guess, what the counter to the counter is going to be with them.
Yeah.
Because I think they do see like a higher percentage of switches than just about anyone, which naturally, if you're doing a whole bunch of guard screening, that just kind of blends itself into it.
Mm-hmm.
And with more teams trying to cross match like their bigs on weaker shooters, et cetera, like I do wonder what happens when a team finds a specific matchup configuration that they like, whether that's the Thunder losing round two this year or whatever the case may be, and how teams kind of try to build their game plans for OKC off of that, beyond that, and what OKC does. Is it just going to be internal growth, we'll get through it? Are they actually going to try to make a bigger move to get a more established, like, I don't know, second guy, third guy next to Shea and Jalen? Or if you are including Jalen in anything like that, which I don't think they would, but if they are, like, you're probably looking at, with what he's shown, Case, he gets you like a top 12 guy, I would imagine.
Yeah.
If they're ever willing to include him or something. Again, I'm not pushing for that, so I don't want to, you know, do that. But they have so much upward mobility with this group. And I guess that's what excites me most about more than anything. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes in from the inside, I would imagine, where it's like, stop telling this team to blow it up and make a bunch of trades. Like, they're already really freaking good. Let's like see what this is.
Yeah.
And they kind of move from there.
Yeah. They're already at the top of the West. Their chemistry is, I mean, they're just a bunch of kids. You know,
I love their post game interviews. Oh, I love it. Love it.
Yeah, I find myself like I try to like make like little shorts about like just with the team, and like I almost like always like default to going to these post game interviews just because they're hilarious and they're just ridiculous, and a lot of it comes from J Dub, who's just, I mean, he's just amazing. Like, I hope this guy's in Oklahoma City forever. Like, he's just the best. Obviously, he's an amazing player, but like personality wise,
like, he's hilarious. There's
just nobody better. Like, he's just so great. And he's great for the chemistry of the team overall. And that's another thing you just don't want to throw off. Like, you want to see, like, how does this evolve? How do they look, you know, in a playoff series together? How do they gel? What does, what doesn't work? You know, there's just so much to like enjoy about this season that you just, I'm glad they kind of just, they made the Gordon Hayward trade. He's it's been mixed results for Gordon so far, and we'll see where that heads. And if it's him, it's a sign and trade. If he just moves on, you know, it's like no harm, no foul. It was kind of the perfect trade for them. But yeah, I want to talk about Shea's MVP candidacy.
Okay.
Because a lot of people are, it feels like they're ready to hand the trophy to Jokic. He's had an amazing season, and their schedule is a lot more favorable than the Thunder's down the stretch. And so if you're someone who's like trying to look ahead and project the records at the end of the season, it would be pretty easy to project Denver to have a better record than the Thunder by the end of the season. And then if Denver's ahead of the Thunder, it feels like it'd be pretty easy to hand the trophy to Jokic. But in your opinion, what would have to happen for Shea to win the MVP?
I think for Shea to win it, OKC would need to hold on to that one spot. If they can get any kind of end of season slippage from Denver to kind of help aid the case, that would be helpful. But I think just on its own, like, Shea will need to keep up this offensive production. The jumpers will have to continue to fall for him. The defense in particular is going to have to remain consistent and strong, because I think zooming out season-wide, I think you can make the two-way impact case for Shea. Because I think we can both agree, as much as we love Shea, like, I think we can both agree Jokic is a better offensive player. Or it's just a better play overall. But
looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And I think the reason why he has to win it is not always does the best player win the MVP, but it's like the story of the season. And if the Thunder can capture like and can be the story of the season, which I think it's easy to make the case. I think you could honestly even make the case that OKC is like more of a story of the season than Denver is, even if they finish second, just because of like the jump that they've made from like this play-in team to now like a bona fide contender. You know, the stats say contender, you know. So I think you could still make the case, and I think it is kind of being boiled down to the standings, which I think is fine, but I don't know. I think Shea's been ridiculous, and I think that he deserves some credit. I don't know that he'll end up winning the MVP, but to me, he's played like an MVP this season with what he's done on both ends for the Thunder.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you're looking at, 31-6-6, 65 true shooting, somewhere in that range, 2 steals a game. And I was pulling up some of the on-off stuff before we hopped on. The Thunder plus 11.2 with him on the floor. Yeah. I think Jokic is at plus 10.5 per PvP stats anyway. So I have to cross-check that with Clean the Glass. They filter out garbage time. But if we are to agree that Jokic is the best player in basketball, like I think that's where I'm at personally. The fact that the Thunder perform as a better team with Shea on versus Jokic on, like that is no small feather in the cap. If you're just talking about an MVP case, you look, if you care about like EPM or if you go to dunks and threes at all, like Shea has the EPM lead right now. He has the estimated wins lead right now. And so like you can construct the case and then go into the defense. Like, I think you can make the argument that Shea has been better in his defensive role than Jokic has been in his. Though, as I've been yelling about for the last 3 years, like we need to stop the Jokic is bad at defense thing.
Sure.
Like Steve and I've done multiple segments throughout this year. Like, hey, Jokic is playing more drop now. Like they're switching him a little bit more now. Like he's a good defender. But if you want to point to the Shea steals, the Shea deflections, what Shea just does on the weak side of the floor, period. Like one of my favorite game within the games when watching an engaged Shea Gilgeous-Alexander defensively, watching teams try to post him up. Like I do think bigger bodies can get him if that guy gets the catch, but you have to catch the ball first.
Yeah.
And Shea is so good at slithering around and poking the ball free before he can even get it. It's just like, that event creation is important. Like I don't want to go full blown steals per game equals elite defender, but like that is tangible. And like, he works within their scheme very well. And so, if you can construct the argument that he's been better in his defensive role than Jokic, it's easy to say, okay, Jokic may be a better player overall, but like two-way impact, plus we got more wins here, plus some of these advanced stats like him, I think you can construct the case. And if, again, if Denver slips at all, and we have seen this year and in other MVP seasons for Jokic, as you point to like Denver having an easier schedule, if Jokic sees an opponent that he knows can't really do anything with him, we will see the four-point first half. And Denver will be up 18. And like, that's honestly part of why, you know, at least with EPM in particular, it's honestly why the advanced numbers aren't as crazy as they have been in like during his MVP season.
Yeah.
But there have just been some of the halves where I'm just not shooting. We're up 17 already. I do not care. And so like, if you get a couple of those where Denver still wins, but Jokic has 11, 12, and 7, where Shea is still putting up 32, 5, and 6 or whatever, the box score number is going to look a little bit better. Some of the advanced stuff may look a little bit better for Shea. Like, I think the pathway is there. On top of just Shea, I feel like he's just been, he's a deserving candidate in his own right.
Yeah.
But I think you can, I think the pathway is there for him, though.
It feels like the door was slammed shut by Victor Wembanyama for the Rookie of the Year for Chet, which is fine. It's fine. But let's talk about Chet's season a little bit. Like, what have you seen from him? What were your expectations versus what you've seen?
I think, one, he has exceeded my expectations. And I think the biggest change for me, like watching him in summer league, it's like I like that he's trying to drive, and I like that he's not just a pick and pop big, but someone that can put the ball down. This handle is a little bit loose. It's a little bit high. I'm a little bit worried when he faces NBA caliber defenses, like how impactful those drives are going to be. And then the first like 2 months of the season happened, and I was like, wait a minute. How did he get that much better? How did the handle get that much tighter? And I remember citing it during one of our early rookie reports on the pod. It's like, he was something like over 1.2 points per session on trips featuring a Chet drive. And I was like, that's not how that's supposed to go, with like some decent volume to it too. And so like, he got off to that start, and then there was a little bit of team starting to switch more and get higher help, and you get digs at the nail and stuff. Pickup points were getting weird. I was like, okay, here's the adjustment to the adjustment. Let's see how he deals with that. And now it feels like he's back to just being an impactful driver, which I think is helpful. So like, that's probably been the specific area of the game that I've enjoyed most for Chet, or at least enjoyed tracking with him, just how much better he's gotten at that point. Because again, if he can be a screen and dive guy, a screen and pop, you know, a screen and pop guy, and then also attack closeouts, you don't have anywhere to hide your defenders when it comes to Chet Holmgren. So like, he's had a massive impact on what OKC wants to do offensively and then defensively. Like, him and Victor are similar in, because of the body frames, dudes may move them out of the way on post-ups, but you're not moving them out of the play. You'll get a little bit of separation, but by the time you turn around, like, that's still a lot of length that you have to deal with. And so like, watching him embrace physicality on the offensive end too, with some of the drives, but defensively in particular, like watching him absorb blows and still contest and alter shots, and seeing the possessions not quite to like a Rudy Gobert frequency or even a Wimby frequency, but those possessions to where he is in a drop and teams are like, you know what, actually, never mind. Let me just get out here. Let's go second side. Let's see if we can get something going there. Like, that's been enjoyable for me. So he has been very good. Like, you know, early in the year, I had him slightly ahead of Wimby for Rookie of the Year. Since Wimby has started at center, I think December 6th was either the first day that he started center or the last game that he started alongside Zach Collins. Since then, he has just been otherworldly. Like, yeah. I think he is, as you said, at least kind of slammed the door shut mm-hmm. with how he's played over the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. But Chet's been impactful. And, like, one of the things that kind of bothered me about the discussion, because the context for those two guys are so much different. It's just like, Chet's not just being spoon-fed opportunities offensively. Like, he's not just, this team's good, I'm a beneficiary. Like, obviously, if you're playing alongside an MVP guy, it's going to help. Mm-hmm. And I remember dropping, like, hey, in terms of assisted field goals or unassisted field goals made, like, during this stretch of games, it's pretty much equal or a little bit lower than Wimby's. Mm-hmm. So, like, what do we do with that? Mm-hmm. To kind of counter some of the Chet's just being spoon-fed stuff. Mm-hmm. But he has really been an impactful piece on both ends of the floor for a one seed. That is not easy to do.
No. Yeah.
Especially for a rookie big man. Yes. Like, watching him, like, Derek Lively isn't going to factor into the rookie of the year race because of how good Chet and Wimby have been. Mm-hmm. But, like, just looking at those two guys, like, it's not easy for rookie centers to legit make their teams better.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think Chet deserves credit for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Rarely happens. Yeah. It's a special 1-2 pairing there at the top of this rookie class. Like, it's, I think, and that will be proven over time. I want to get your perspective on kind of the Josh Giddey conundrum that's happened this season. And, like, off the top, I do want to give Josh a lot of credit because, like, he's really trying to do a lot of different things within the offense and has not been grumpy behind the scenes from what I understand, and is, like, really honestly wants to be a part of this team and wants to make this team the best it can be. And I'm just curious kind of your thoughts on the ways that the Thunder have adjusted with him.
I think, honestly, process-wise, I haven't had an issue with any of it, honestly. Like, they've tried to space him in the strong side corner to try to remove some of the help. They've used him as, like, their elbow hub, whether that's actually at the free throw line or, like, some of the delay stuff that you see across the league with bigs bringing it up and then flowing into handoffs. They'll do that with Josh Giddey. When he is off the ball, like, we'll see the slot cuts from him. We'll see him flash to the free throw line when teams try to gap him. Like, that was one of the things that really popped for me in, I want to say, the first Thunder-Timberwolves game.
Yeah.
And, like, very early on, it's like, oh, he's an active part of this. And, like, even if the shots aren't going down, he's doing the right things. He's cutting at the right time. He's doing the thing that should make this impactful. And so it's feeling more like a results deal for me. And this is why, you know, to go back a little bit earlier about the chemistry, I would also just kind of tie this into the overall buy-in of this group.
Yeah.
To where Josh, again, someone else projected to be this super big ball handler that can spray passes all over the place and all this good stuff. He has set more screens than ever. He has operated as, like, a handoff hub. He's fine with just being in the strong side corner. It's like, okay, well, fine. I'll just cut and I'll try to find avenues to be successful here. And ultimately, if it isn't working in the first half, we'll see Isaiah Joe start a second half, or we'll see an Aaron Wiggins, or we'll see a Gordon Hayward. And so for him to still have that level of buy-in, like, I think that's a positive. And it also just speaks to how honest Mark Dagnall's being with these guys.
Yeah.
And just the overall program. And so, again, process-wise, I don't have many complaints. He's been doing all of the extra stuff and all the off-ball stuff. If the shots don't fall, they just don't fall. And, like, ultimately, teams have gotten more audacious with, not only are we going to put our big on you, we're not even going to worry about you if you're on the side of the floor. I will just creep all the way over here. And, like, once it gets to that level, like, he's had a few multi-three-point made games during this stretch, but it hasn't changed what defenses are doing.
Yeah.
And so with him being in that box, I'm both curious to see, like, what the playoff starting lineups and what the playoff rotations are going to look like, but I'm also kind of, I guess I'm also encouraged by the fact that they have already shown a willingness to go away from him if it's getting too egregious or if the shots just aren't falling. And, you know, to tie it back into Josh and the buy-in, he doesn't seem to be pouting when that does happen.
Yeah.
So, like, it's helpful that OKC has the option to go away and they have a bunch of different options they can cycle through when they do go away, and that we don't have the rumblings of Josh Giddey's unhappy with his role and all that good stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, Everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Who do you like taking his place the most off the bench?
Honestly, like, I don't think he's the best player of the three. I'm becoming more and more partial to Aaron Wiggins.
Yes. Wow. You just scored so many points, Nikias, with so many Thunder fans. Wow.
Well, I will take it. I will take it. But no, like, he seems like the midpoint between can shoot, willing cutter, willing screener, etc. But you also don't have the same size questions that you might have in some matchups. If that's Isaiah Joe or Cason Wallace, who Case has been defending, been defending his tail off all year long.
Yeah, he's been great.
And I mentioned a little bit earlier, like, Isaiah Joe has meaningfully grown as a defender this year. But at the end of the day, like, they don't have the size that Aaron Wiggins does. And so it feels like a nice midpoint between, he may not be able to defend as well as Cason Wallace, like, in a vacuum. He doesn't shoot as well as Isaiah Joe in the vacuum. But you get elements of both while also having a bigger body, so they aren't super small out there. So, like, I probably lean Aaron Wiggins right now. I would like for the answer to be Gordon Hayward. I don't know how deep we're going to get into what his run has been like so far. But I think right now I probably lean Aaron Wiggins.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think about Gordon? I've kind of been making this point that it is so much harder to join a team midseason than people think. And it's also so much harder for a player that has never, ever been a role player. Maybe ever. Maybe since he was like 8 years old. Hasn't been a role player, you know? And is now like trying to figure out how to do that. And you can like see him in real time trying to figure it out. I'm willing to give him as much slack as needed, but also recognize that it's not been like the smoothest fit so far. But what are your thoughts?
I agree with all of that 100%. Like, I do think there's some grace that should be given with the adjustment period there, because it's easy. Like, I love the trade when it happens. Like, okay, skill set wise, he just fits in all this. He can shoot. Yeah. He makes good decisions with the ball. Mm-hmm. Can play on or off the ball. Willing cutter. Like, he should slide in. But there is an adjustment period to actually sliding in. Mm-hmm. And so there's that. And like, I've enjoyed the defense from him for the most part in this one. Like, he's certainly, in terms of effort, he's certainly fighting hard.
Yeah.
And like, I think you take that in the ball movement, but I do just find myself more and more getting to Gordon, please shoot the basketball.
Yeah.
Or at least look at the basket. Mm-hmm. Like, you're brought in. Like, again, it's not about box score numbers, but bro, you're supposed to be 10-5-5.
Yeah.
Like, we want the rebounding, we want the ball movement, we want the cutting, we want the defensive effort and being able to switch and take on some of the bigger matchups. Like, he trying to think of which game it was recently that Jalen was out, he had to start before. It's like, okay, if you can take that on, then that's cool. Ultimately, we need you to add that scoring punch too.
Yeah.
Like, you should be a counter to teams trying to load up on Shea, trying to load up on Jalen. If you're the third guy in a potential closing lineup, like, that should be pretty deadly. So like, the aggression meter needs to tick up a little bit with him.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. There was one possession in that. It was against the Pacers that is like toward the end of the game. He had a wide open corner three, and he shuffled it to Giddy off to his left, And you're just like, no. Like, no.
Yeah, I clipped that one. I went back and watched the clip and, like, paused as he caught it. Like, as soon as he caught it, he's looking to his left. Like, bro, yes. You ain't even... If you would have gave us, like, a no-look pass as you were looking at the basket, I still would have been upset that you didn't shoot it. Mm-hmm. But at least you gave the illusion of you were taking the shot. Mm-hmm. It looked like he had no thought in his...
Nope.
No intention whatsoever of shooting that basketball. Mm-hmm. It's like, those possessions have to decrease, if not go away altogether.
Yeah. It was definitely a learning... I'm learning how to be a role player moment, you know? And, you know... Hopefully he can get it together a little bit. And but also the thing is, like, we've talked about all these guys. You even mentioned Aaron Wiggins. It's like, if the Gordon Hayward thing doesn't work out, they've got enough guys, I think, that they can mm-hmm. go to in the playoffs and still feel pretty good about it. So, you know, it's definitely a good problem to have. But you would rather have it be a veteran who's played in the playoffs, who's kind of been there before, that's playing those minutes. Because I do think that the inexperience of this team could rear its head, you know, as early as the first round. And so you want somebody that's been there to be a participant that will shoot the basketball. Yeah.
Need that. Can I ask you a quick question?
Oh, yeah. Fire away.
Because you mentioned the Lakers a little bit earlier as a mm-hmm. matchup that's given OKC some trouble. Mm-hmm. I guess outside of the Lakers, is there another team that you're on? I guess outside the Lakers and outside of Denver. Mm-hmm. If they classify, is there a team that you look at like, ooh, like, I may still think OKC wins, but I don't really want to deal with them?
Yeah, I kind of think Dallas is just a weird matchup too, and they're tough just because, like, you have Luka and Kyrie. The Thunder have played the weirdest games against Dallas this year. You know, they had the one where Dallas went on the 30-0 run, but then the Thunder still won the game. They had, like, the crazy blowout that happened in Dallas prior to the All-Star break. They played in OKC, but without Luka. You know, Dallas is just, they're just one of those teams that there's like a span of like 5 or 6 games where you're like, oh yeah, like, give me Dallas. Like, their defense sucks. They're out of sync. Like, there's nothing there but Luka. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you watch them play at other times. You're like, oh no. Like, you know, like,
there's a whole lot of shot making.
Yeah. Lots of shot making. They've got bigs that can offensive rebound too. That could hurt the Thunder. So it's probably them. And then, like, I think the Thunder are pretty well equipped to handle the Clippers. The Clippers just aren't that big. And so I think they would be fine in a series against the Clippers. They played New Orleans pretty well. We get to see New Orleans again. I'm really excited to see that game coming up here with the Thunder. But I think they match up okay with New Orleans. Phoenix is a mess, and so I think you'd be okay with playing Phoenix. I don't know. What do you think? Dallas is kind of the one that I've landed on, but what do you think?
Like, Dallas makes sense just because Luka, Kyrie, and, like, even though the defense isn't good overall, like, they do have, like, a collective size to them mm-hmm. that makes it a little bit easier for them to switch or switch and double, and, like, you at least have to think about how much space you actually have when they do that. So, like, I can see, like, in a playoff setting, that could be kind of wonky to kind of work through. Mm-hmm. I guess New Orleans was going to be the team that I kind of circle back to.
Yeah.
Just because, one, they've just played incredible basketball.
They've been really
good. As of late and all, you know, all year long, like, yep. They've been really good. But if you have this version of Zion, like, I just wonder, like, one, who's getting that assignment? Because one of the things that I've been been thinking about this year with, okay, see, like, I've loved that Jalen has taken on the challenge of defending more fours
yeah.
and kind of making this defense work. But I also worry about, okay, what is the wear and tear of that going to mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it may not matter on February 8th. It may not matter on March 19th. If we get into May and we get to the second round, do we get the random Jalen is shooting 32% from three in this series? And it's because some of the legs are gone because he's been banging with fours all year long?
Yeah.
And I just worry, like, even if the Thunder win, does Jalen want to deal with 6 games of Zion? And if it's not him, is yeah. Chet ready for 6 games of Zion?
Zion is a conundrum that I don't think many teams have a great answer for, especially yeah. if he's your primary ball handler. And it's one that I haven't honestly given a ton of thought to, and I'm intrigued to see how they defend him coming up, too. One thing that I think the Thunder will look more to in the playoffs is this look with Jay Will and Chet as the bigs, mm-hmm. and you pull Giddy, I think that's a look that we'll see more come playoff time, just because it is going to be more physical. And I think Chet is such an interesting like roamer as a defender. Mm-hmm. And Jay Will allows you to kind of continue to play the way you want to play, because he's a pretty good passer and he'll take threes. I mean, it's definitely like make or miss time for him. Like, you don't know what you're going to get, mm-hmm. but he's going to take them. And he's been okay this year as a shooter. It was better last year, but I think that's a look that they're going to give opposing teams that they haven't done a ton this year, that I think that come playoff time, we'll see a little bit more.
Yeah. I guess as we're going like down the front court rotation, so what's going on with Kenrich now? Is that just it?
They're still giving him small ball center minutes, and they love that lineup. They love mm-hmm. playing that Kenrich at center lineup, and they do it a lot at the end of first quarters, as you'll see a lot of Kenny Hustle as the lone big out there, and they. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, there are times where, and they did this against Minnesota, where they were just like, yeah, we're not going to play Jay Will in this one. Like, we're just going to play super small, and we're gonna be exactly who we want to be, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it was in one game earlier in the season where they just like blew the doors off the Wolves and played small. So I still expect to see Kenrich Williams. So, yeah. But, Nikias, thanks so much for your time. You hopped on here at a moment's notice, and it means a lot to me. I got my 5-year-old here. What do you need, buddy? You're hungry? Well, give me just a minute, and I'll get you something.
There we go.
Nikias, hey, go check out the Dunker Spot. If you just want to be a smarter basketball fan, you should listen to the Dunker Spot podcast. It's very good. You can subscribe on YouTube. Go watch it on YouTube. You can watch... He and Steve Jones talk about basketball. They're two of the best in the business. Nikias, anything else you want to plug?
The Dunker Spot on YouTube every Tuesday, but overall, like, we've posted twice a week, Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. Also, if you have a League Pass account, you can watch basketball games with Steve and I via Watch Playback.
Yeah.
So if you would like to do that and get some live breakdowns or ask us some questions or just vent about life, we get pretty random in the room too, you can indeed do that. So yes. If you want to rot with us, you can do that. But I think that's pretty much it for me in terms of plugs.
Yeah. Support Nikias. He's one of the good ones, very smart, and somebody worth supporting. So go support Nikias. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Appreciate you, man.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.